Number nine. Says, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And then if you turn to Genesis, the 28th chapter, Genesis 28, verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. In other words, this is going to be your home forever. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee, in thy seed, shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Has God ever spoken to you about something, and it hasn't happened as yet, and God's saying, I'm not going to leave you until this thing has been taken care of? And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it upon up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. There is an anointing in God's house. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. Bethel means house of God. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. How is he going to build a house? Upon this rock. Amen. Upon this rock, this revelation. And of all of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee, establishing the tithe. Where? At the house of God. Amen. At Bethel. Amen. And then if you turn to chapter 35 and verse number 6. And so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all of the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called it El Bethel, or the God of Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brothers. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the word, God. Let there be oil on the rock. Let this be the house of God forever. Amen. But allow us to be the house of God. Amen. And let there be an anointing upon these houses that have gathered together in this place. Amen. That someday we'll gather in another place. Amen. To worship you forever. Bless it as only you can. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, I left my office and I walked into the room where my wife was, and I said, I'm finished with my message. And I was excited that I had finished my message. Sometimes I labor for an entire day over something that I'm trying to get the mind of God, and it seemed like, well, that's nice, honey. But you should see what I just saw on the internet. Somebody sent me this thing, and as she showed me what was sent to her, there was an immediate confirmation of my message. Now, how does God do that? I guess I shouldn't be surprised. We should never use the word unbelievable when it comes to God, because everything is believable and everything is orchestrated exactly the way God wants. Amen. And so I asked that they show this little clip that she showed me as I told her I had finished my message, and the tears started streaming down my cheeks, and maybe you'll understand. If you could show that. Shut these lights off, please. There's a ladder stretched up to heaven. And I believe every time we come to the house of the Lord or to Bethel, I believe that there is a ladder stretched up and there are angels ascending and descending. I believe that there is a blessing here. And as Jacob said, this is the gate to heaven. I don't believe you can get to heaven any other place but in the church. I don't believe the individuals can just do it on themselves, but there has to be a corporate body. There has to be a group of believers that, well, they're positioned like a rock. Amen. Have you ever gotten homesick? I mean, really, really homesick. I remember as a young man going to basic training, and it's the first time I was really ever away for any length of time, and It really affected me. Here's a farm boy who is now, you know, going and having all of these drill sergeants shouting in your face. And I remember counting the days, and all of the guys that were with me counting the days, 30 days, and we're out of here. 10 days, and I wake up, and I'm on a plane. I'm going back home. I remember weeks in New York City training as a claims adjuster and thinking, you know what, all this concrete, they can have it. I want to go home where I'm familiar. I thought about going home all of the time. Home, a place where I grew up, a place where family was, a place that was comfort, a place of security, a place where I was familiar with. There is no place like home. We can't explain it. Vacation is nice, but there's something about your own bed. There's something about your own table. There's something about walking to your own refrigerator and deciding when you're going to eat. Dale Rakek was fighting in Iraq for 8 months. He was a gunnery sergeant, but he was soon to go home to see his wife and his two children. His daughter, Carrie, said it was a reunion of a lifetime. She began screaming as her father got off of the plane. And all of the way home, they talked and they hugged and they reminisced about things and what they were going to do. And when they got home, his wife and girls wouldn't leave him alone, not even for a minute. It was 3 hours of precious time at home. Dale then looked at them and said, "I love you all so much." And those were his last words, because he died of a massive heart attack in their living room. Looking forward to going home. His fellow soldiers later said that all Dale could talk about is going home. Hallelujah. There was a couple who came into our church. This is a number of years ago. Many of you would not even understand, but they came in and they had never been in a church in their life, but they wanted to get married. And after the service, they came to me and said, I love this church, and I would love that we could have our marriage in this church. And I said, well, what's your background? They didn't have any background of anything. And principally, they were coming because of the church, the building. They wanted to get married in a building like this. And I said, well, if you'll sit through a Bible study, you know, I'll consider marrying you. And so they both sat in the Bible study. They're both baptized in Jesus' name. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and we set the date for the marriage. And the Friday night, a week before the marriage, there was a bachelor party, and apparently he got involved in some things that she didn't appreciate. And so that Saturday morning, the Saturday morning before the wedding, the week after, they had a fight in her apartment. She got a gun. They struggled over the gun, and she was shot in the chest and died immediately. So the Saturday I was to marry her, I buried her, and the bridesmaids were all on the front pew. And her fiancé, the husband-to-be, wasn't allowed to come to the church. There were squad cars all over this place. But had she known that she was only going to have a little bit of space before she was going home, I wonder. Saved by the skin of your teeth, she was ready. She wasn't married here, but she'll be married one day. As a child, one of the things that I was most interested in was raising pigeons. I know it's very complicated and sophisticated, but I was raising odd-looking pigeons, trumpeters and fantails, and something called a grunt pigeon that was almost as big as a chicken. And it was something that kids did back then. You know, there were no video games, so we played with our pigeons. And I raised homing pigeons. And you could take those homing pigeons and you could drive 40 miles away And many times they would beat you home before you got there because there was something within them that said, get me home! Home has a powerful call on each and every one of us. Few can escape its call. Salmon can't. They'll swim upstream knowing the peril. There's a chance that they could die. Geese have to go back home. Whales can't resist the call of coming back home. God causes fish and fowl and animals to want to go home. The call of home is so strong that predators use it against their prey. Bear and fishermen wait for the return of the salmon. They don't have to chase them because they know that there's an instinct within them that says, they're coming home. Hunters know the migratory patterns of birds. Whalers don't chase whales. They just wait for when they're coming home. When we go to Cabo, there are whales that come around. Every 5 minutes, they're jumping up in the water, and the baby whales are with them, coming from the Sea of Cortez around the peninsula and going up to California and Alaska. And every year, it is the same. Every year, I'm on my way home. Church, we're on our way home. There's a built-in instinct that God has put within us that says, get me to church and get me to heaven. This is the gateway to heaven, folks. The whole story of the Wizard of Oz is what? Get me home. How do I get there? The yellow brick road. There's something that allows us to follow the path that is going to get us home. Law enforcement officials know that the tendency of the escaped convict is to go home. And so they don't go chase them, they just wait for them to come home. Bonnie and Clyde made a mistake, and they were captured at home. Jacob knew the feeling. He left home running for his life, away from his brother and those who would end his life. But so powerful was the call of home that now he was coming back, even fearful of what would happen and what would he encounter. But he thought, I gotta go home. I've got to go home. Jacob had fled to where his grandfather Abraham had called home, but perhaps he thought he could feel at home there, but there was something missing. It wasn't home. It really wasn't. I was greeted by a young lady last Sunday morning and her two little girls, and they just wanted to shake my hand, and the girls said, do we have to go home? We want to stay here. And she said, do you remember me? And I said, I really don't. She said, when I was 11 years old, I came to this church, and I haven't been to any church but this morning. God said, you need to go home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jacob longed to be back home. Home wasn't where his mother was because while he was gone 20 years, Rebecca had died. Also, Deborah, his nurse and caregiver, died. It wasn't just a mother's love that drew him back. It isn't just the people that are in the pews that people miss. It's a place where they've had an experience with a great God. It's a place where there was an oil that was on the stone. It was a place where there was a ladder that reached up to heaven. There was a place where angels were descending and ascending. A special place called Bethel, or God's house. Plus, all of the feelings and godly encounters that were there. You don't experience all of those feelings just anywhere, but you experience them in the house of God. A place where he met God on the worst day of his life, and some of us came into the church on the worst day of our life, knowing that there's got to be a place, there has to be a home. And God gave him hope and promise. He would always be with him. It was a place his grandfather Abraham offered sacrifices years before, and perhaps it was because of those sacrifices that drew him back home. Listen, fathers, mothers, grandparents, you know what? It's because of your sacrifice that one day those kids are going to wake up in the morning and all of a sudden feel, I have got to go back home. He remembered that night as it were yesterday, and I remember that night I was filled with the Holy Ghost like it was yesterday. I've reviewed it in my mind, and perhaps you've reviewed those times in your life as well. In Jacob's dream, he saw a ladder ascending into heaven as angels ascended and descended on the ladder, and he remembered that was the place. Oh, a place where I was fearful, a place where I felt all alone, but a place where I felt the arms of God, I felt the anointing, I felt the promise that God would bring me back to the place where I was born. There have been people who have had to leave the church because of transfers and because of situations, but you know what? I've had so many letters and phone calls and texts saying, I wish I were back home. There, God made promises to Jacob, and Jacob made promises to God. And isn't that what happens in this place? We make promises to God, and God makes promises to us. He gives us little still voices that talk to us personally, and God said he'd protect Jacob and bring him back home. And Jacob would serve God and give the Lord a tenth of all that he possessed. And when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, each of us become like a homing pigeon. You can take us a long ways away, but there's still only one place that we want to get back to, and it's home. Amen. There's something inside of us that says, I've got to go home. Genesis 28 and 17 said, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. There are many who feel there are different entrances and different ways, but I'll tell you what, it is God's house that becomes the gate, the way, in order to get to the real home for eternity. For many, it is the most beloved psalm in the Bible. It's the Shepherd's Psalm. It's Psalms 23. Most of us can quote most of it. I did yesterday to some people I was talking to. At the beginning of the psalm, the speaker is seen as a sheep looking at his shepherd Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, you have to personalize it. He has to be your shepherd, not a shepherd, not just someone who you vaguely read about. And then somewhere in the middle, a change takes place. We are no longer sheep trusting the shepherd to lead us, but humans on a journey through this life. Enemies are around us. The Lord prepares a table in the presence of our enemy. I know we want God to take us out of the dilemma. We want God to protect us, and we don't want to have any conflict or any difficulty in living for God. But he said, I'll prepare a table in the presence. But the end of this psalm is probably the best. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, David had this value of the house of God. He may have had a little detour here and there, but he thought, I have got to get to the house of God, because that's where the peace was. That's where the joy is. Oh, we can take detours. We can get sidetracked. And the enemy wants to put up roadblocks and barrels alongside the road, say, take this way or take that way. And God's saying, no, I'm going to lead you in a path of righteousness. I'm going to take you to a place, the house of the Lord, forever. See, God's commitment isn't just a temporary commitment. God's commitment is forever and ever. He has prepared a place for each and every one of us. Many people have returned to places they grew up in, and they were disappointed. You know, I thought it would be just the way it was when I left. Things just aren't the same anymore. I remember as a child and all of the things that I did on the homestead, and now the old farmhouse is gone, and all of the barns that I played in are gone, and it just isn't the same. And you don't want things to change at home anymore, you know? I believe those who have left, for whatever reason, are coming home again. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe God is drawing people back home like he has never drawn people back home again, a place where they can be restored, a place that they're familiar with, a place that they were born in. And we need to make sure that things are the same as when they left. Don't tear anything down. Don't change anything. It was good enough for them to get the Holy Ghost. Why should it not be good enough for them to be renewed in the Spirit? Jacob might have wondered, will they accept me back home? I've got this pulling. I have this calling to get back to where I was, but I'm not sure. How am I going to be treated? How am I going to be received? And some people perhaps are hesitant about coming home because they're just not sure how people will receive them. I'll tell you what, we need to receive people with open arms, because that is exactly what God wants us to do, restore. We have a ministry of reconciliation. You see, God is constant. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God's house is where we are always welcome. And when we were in Mexico in April, we saw many come to a palatial church. I mean, it was so absolutely spectacular in its design, its architecture, and the gold and all of the intricacy. But it wasn't home. It was where people would visit, not establish a home. It was a place where people would talk about the things of God, but it was just a little visit. I've been to places where I visited, but I wanted to leave as soon as I got there because it wasn't like home is. I don't know about you, but once you get into the church and you go back to some of the places that you used to worship, it's just not the same. It's not the building that makes it home, but it's the God that is here to welcome us when we get here. Amen. So the only thing that makes us a temple is the Spirit of God that is within us. And the only thing that makes this the house of God is the Spirit of God that is in the house. God called Jacob home, and it wasn't Jacob's idea. It was something that God put within him, a longing to go back to the place where he heard the voice and knew the promises of God. The years away had been contentious years. They were years of trouble. His uncle changed his wages 10 times. There was friction, there was confusion, there was strife. And you can't leave home and still be in peace. Some have left and said, oh, I'll find peace, I'll find joy, I'll find contentment, but it doesn't happen unless you come home. One of the most beautiful portrayals of God's calling of people home was God calling the Jews back to their homeland. Let's go to Zechariah, the 10th chapter. And verse number 9, we read this before, but it says, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the far countries. You know what? I believe that people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, I don't care where they go, I don't know what they're involved in, but they're going to remember. There's going to be the thoughts that are in their mind. And they shall live with their children and turn again. They're coming home. God's going to bring, he brought the Jews back. He's going to, in these end times, he's going to restore what the canker worm ate. He's going to restore lives, if you will. It's going to happen. The scriptures tell us that Jacob left home alone, but when he returned, he brought a whole bunch of people with him. Hallelujah. I'm coming home, but I'm not coming home like I left. I'm bringing a family with me. I'm bringing wealth with me. I'm bringing all of what has happened in 20 years, everything that I love, I'm going to bring back home. When people come back to church, they shouldn't come to church alone. They should bring somebody with them. Jacob's return wasn't easy. He first had to wrestle with God. And you know the story. He sent his family ahead because he was afraid of what he was going to encounter with his brother and 400 men that were coming to kill him. And so he sent them ahead and he got a hold of God. And there he wrestled with God until the breaking of the day. And God changed his name when he was on his way home. From Jacob, which meant deceiver, to Israel, which meant power with God. He also did something else. He touched the hollow of his thigh. The most powerful muscle we have in our body is our thigh muscle. And he put it out of joint. And after that day, every day that he took a step, he limped. Because he remembered, he wrestled with God. He saw God faced the faith, and still his life was preserved. He now is going home. Things weren't easy. Deborah, his nurse, had died. Rachel, his beloved wife, had died. Dina, his daughter, had been raped during this time. It wasn't easy, but Jacob was determined, like the salmon who swim upstream, I'm going to make it home. I don't know what goes through the mind of a salmon. I don't know what goes through the mind of a whale. I don't know what goes through the mind of geese that fly thousands of miles, or the hummingbirds I saw this week. They're coming from South America with those little bitty wings, but I got to get back home in the summertime. I don't understand how God programs the animal, but I know he programs each and every one of us when we're filled with his spirit to go to a place that he wants us to be. You see, there's a lot of things that God will give us options for. I decided this morning I was going to wear a blue suit and a blue tie, and God was saying, that's all right. He allowed me to have the job that I had over the years, and I believe they were in preparation for the job that God ultimately wanted me to have. But I don't believe there's one thing that he gives us an option for, and that is, where is home? I've said this to many people. Some haven't believed me, but I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's one thing that God says. I used to have a little plaque on my refrigerator that said, bloom where you're planted. We have this little dog, now 120 pounds. Every week it seems to go at least 5 more pounds. And for some reason, Wednesday night when we got home, she was on the patio and we had all these flower pots, and for some reason she decided that blooming where they were planted isn't a good idea. So she pulled all of the plants out and distributed them through the entire backyard and also in our kitchen. But I'm a proponent of blooming where you're planted. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence, folks. God is God no matter where you are, and you're not going to get more of God someplace else. Amen. Hallelujah. It wasn't easy. You know, he left Bethel penniless and he returned a wealthy man. See, God blessed him, but he knew all of this time that he's coming back home. He left alone and he returned with a whole group of people, and that's good. He left haughty and he returned humble, but not everybody is so fortunate. The prodigal son left home wealthy and he returned broke. But the key is, he returned. Now, I understand the parables of the lost sheep. You know, I don't know, maybe was walking around, fell into a crevice, couldn't get out, and the shepherd went and picked up that sheep. Sometimes the Bible refers to a shepherd who breaks the leg of a sheep and then carries that sheep for literally months until there's a bonding with the shepherd so they don't walk away from home. I understand that. I understand the parable of the lost coin and the woman swept the house because there was some negligence and something slipped through the crack. But when it comes to the prodigal son who in rebellion decided, I'm leaving and I'm taking my inheritance with me, the father never went after him. He had to come to himself. And there was a GPS that was installed in that son that said, you know, I had it better in my father's house. Hallelujah. I lost it all, but I didn't lose my father. I lost it all, but I didn't lose my home. I know that if I just came back, my father would welcome me with a robe and a ring and a fatted calf. And he said, I have sinned against you and my father, and the father, well, welcomed him back. Naomi left home with a husband and two sons. She had a great family, but returned without any family. But she brought back a daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. And she went to Ruth's home instead of where she was. And Ruth's God, and she received salvation and an heir to King David because she went to the right home. Some declare the sweetest word in the Bible is, come, come. And every time we come home, God's saying, come, I got a hug for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's some little kids in this congregation that want a hug every time you see them. They want the hug. And I'm one of those little kids. I want a hug every time I come to the house of God. And he's saying, come. For whosoever will, come. Come. Suffer the little children. That's me. Come. Sit on his lap. Let him touch you. He'll bring you home. He'll fulfill the promises. You know, Noah was commanded by the Lord to come into the ark. Come into the ark. You know, that's basically what our job is. We're saying, come into the ark. Now that we have our sign going, people are going to be flooding in here, folks. But the sign is going to say, come. Come. You're welcome here. Why didn't God say, go into the ark? He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. Because God wanted Noah to know that he was already aboard the ark waiting for him to come home. And our God is already in here. The first person that opens the door and walks into this church, you know, God's already here. And he's saying, come. Come early. Stay late. Fill up. Get all you can. I've been waiting for you to come home. Hallelujah. If this morning you are confused about how to get home, please let me help you. Basically, it's what a pastor does. Everyone needs to come home. Bethel, the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. Upon this rock, the same rock, if you will, the shadow and type that Jacob had poured oil on, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can't leave from any other place to get to heaven, but from the house of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm home. I'm not leaving. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I don't know how they did that ladder in fireworks. I can't even imagine how that could happen. But can you imagine when the rapture comes? I don't know if he's going to have this golden staircase that goes all the way up to heaven, but it will be believable because it's going to be God who is going to set it before us. A yellow brick road, keep following it. Forget about all of what you hear. This is the way to go home, and this is the way to go home. No, no. The only wise God, our Savior, can show us how to get home and stay on the right path. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?